Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio. Yippee-ki-yay, everybody.
Welcome to this week's Movie Maintenance, where some films just need fixing. I'm Kath.
I'm Tom.
I'm Carney.
And this week we're going to be fixing Mother.
Mother! I think yeah, it's pronounced Mother!
Mother!
So, Mother is a film.
Mother!
Do you reckon when he was pitching it to studios, he was like, I've got this film, it's called, because he mumbles a bit, Aronofsky, he's like, he kind of talks like this, so I've got this film and it's really good, the title.
Mother!
It's Kathy, you look like you don't get this.
I don't, and I...
It's in the title.
There's an exclamation point at the end of the title.
Oh, so you're...
Yeah.
Mother! Yeah. It's a lowercase m exclamation point.
Yeah, I never noticed the lowercase m.
Really?
No.
Wait, you did notice?
I didn't.
Every character is listed with lowercase except for Javier Bardem.
But they don't have names, do they?
Yeah, but like listed.
You know, they do. They're all called, everyone in this movie is shit and deserves to catch on fire.
Well, they do. Catch on fire.
But not come back.
So Mother is the latest film by Darren Aronofsky, which, can I just say, the fact that I can say that name is incredible because it took me years to say it.
Can't introduce the show.
Cannot introduce the
show.
How'd
you used to say it?
I used to say it like a Russian person spitting an insult at someone. I used to be like, Darren Aronofsky. Like, I just couldn't.
Aronofsky.
It was just so hard for me to say. And then I just, over time, I
managed to say it. Was it to the point where you like avoided saying it?
I'd call him Darren A and I sounded like an idiot, but less of an idiot.
Do you want to know?
Actually trying to say it.
For if you can never pronounce something correctly.
So this happens to you a lot, then.
It happens to me an awful lot. Yep. You just go hard. So you either lean into the fact that you pronounce it wrong, or if you're a little bit unsure and you're like, oh, Aaron, and so what you do is you make a joke out of it. You're like, oh, you know, Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, I did that. I'd be Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'd do that.
That'll help you now.
That'll help you.
You don't need it because you don't.
I can say it. Oh, fuck.
Oh, it's gone.
Darren Aronofsky.
No, that's not it.
There's a fifth.
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah.
One more time.
Darren Aronofsky.
She's like Aronofsky.
Yeah.
Now, he is one of my favorite directors of all time.
Thank you.
However, this film, I fall somewhere in the middle. And I know that both of you have somewhat differing opinions, sort of towards either end of the spectrum. I would like you to argue your cases courtroom style.
So, I will say this about Mother.
Yes.
I paid money to see it.
Mm-hmm. Time is money. I paid time.
It may have been the... Basically, about halfway through it, I turned to my fiancée Michaela watching it together. I turned to her.
I thought you were going to say me for a minute.
I turned to Sean, my fiancée. I turned to Michaela, who had stopped watching the movie and had actually looked over at me because she knew that I was about to turn around. And I was like, she's like, it's fucking shit. That movie.
Halfway through. What point are we talking here?
Oh, no,
I'll tell you what it was. It was at the point where it wasn't the movie that Tom wanted it to be anymore.
Correct.
It changed and Tom was like, no, my fucking toy's in the playset, blah, blah, blah. Tom, I respect your opinion so much. I really do.
Incredible
you're
impression.
A fuckwit, mate. That's it. It's an interesting. Can you say that it's an interesting film?
It's interesting until it's interesting to halfway.
You don't find the first party.
The movie is actually quite good up to the first party they have.
You don't find it interesting when shit goes off the rails?
Mm-hmm.
Which part?
Let's talk about the entire insanity of it.
The really harrowing moment when that baby gets torn. That is the funniest shit I've ever seen in a movie. Darren Aronofsky.
That's disturbing.
That is. That baby looks so fake.
Yeah, well.
That movie feels like Darren Aronofsky, who is like in his 40s, is like, oh, I'm dating a hot younger woman. I better show everyone how hot she is and how good at acting she is.
No.
But I forgot to write a fucking movie on the way.
I don't feel. I didn't watch
worst
the movie.
Worst movie of 2017, 16, 15 and 18. I would watch Suicide Squad again.
Oh, no, you would not.
I would watch Suicide Squad again before I would watch Mother, because at least Will Smith is compelling as a character.
That's true.
You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's
you don't
madness,
find Jennifer
though.
Lawrence's performance compelling? Are you one of the fuckwits who would be like, yeah, Razzie nomination, worst actress?
No, she doesn't deserve a Razzie nomination because she's doing the best she can with a turgid piece of fart water.
Tom, I don't agree that he was...
Someone did a poo in a toilet and then went, oh, we'll put it on as a movie, and it turned into Mother.
You just said you enjoyed the first half of it.
Yeah. Because it felt good when it came out.
So it's half a good...
Jesus Christ. I don't agree that it was a vehicle to, you know, for him to show off Jennifer Lawrence's hotness. Because, first of all, like...
She doesn't have any.
Oh, Sean!
I do that to annoy Kathy, because I know that you love her.
I love her. But also, he wasn't dating her until after he made it. So that doesn't add up to me. And
yeah, because
also,
he was like,
I'm going to
make this movie and then you're going to want to fuck me.
So when I watched the film,
I don't agree.
I don't feel like the film sexualized her.
No.
No, me neither.
Oh, maybe a little bit.
Towards
the
back end, sure.
In a really kind of sick way.
In a sick way, but then by then the whole world of the film is just sick.
The most interesting thing for me is that the first probably half an hour of that film, and maybe in the first little bit, ask some interesting questions, just throws you into this world where you have no idea what's going to happen. And then answers it in the most disappointing way possible, where it's like, hey, guys, do you remember the Bible?
Yeah.
My name's Darren, and I'm good at making movies. I made The Fountain, and it was about as good as this.
Nah, okay. You know not to go near The Fountain, because it's a fucking beautiful film. Fuck, oh, I tell
it's,
you
it's
what.
A companion piece to Mother.
No, well, then both very interesting and well-crafted films that have something to say.
Dense, pointless and made by someone who didn't have any idea what the fuck he's talking about anything.
You know
ever.
What, Tom? They might be pointless to a small mind.
I felt like I was watching a Year 12 movie by someone who's read one philosophy book and one chapter of some other book.
It's not your student film. It's Aronofsky's.
My student film was better.
Oh, I fucking doubt that very much.
Had narration in it, mate.
Oh, that's lazy.
Nah, the sound fucked up. I didn't narrate over the whole film.
It's just a silent movie. Kathy, I had an interesting time watching the film.
Please tell, Sean.
I wouldn't say that I love it, because I think it's an incredibly flawed film, but it is by no stretch one of the worst films of the year. I was quite fascinated by it. I think it goes fucking ridiculous in the third act. But
it goes terrible
as it ended. I sat there and I went, you know what? Didn't mind it.
But great.
I had a good time. I think Jennifer Lawrence, for me, it's her best performance.
It's the most unlike her.
Well, that's it.
And so I think she's acting the most, and she's so good.
Yeah.
Like,
often you watch her in movies and she's playing a variation of the same character, whereas in this, I think she was stripped of all that, and it was finally like watching her like sink into a character. For the first time,
I think I needed more from this movie, actually, while we're talking about Jennifer Lawrence's performance, is I think I needed another insane close-up of her face. I don't think there was enough. I'm being sarcastic.
That's the film that he was making, mate. He's using filmmaking techniques to have a claustrophobic effect.
Which one?
Creating
claustrophobia. Which storytelling technique? Pick one.
Claustrophobia and building tension.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask this to Kathy, because your mind is clearly closed to this film.
It's a
shit
movie.
Is it the most, like, kind of one of the most uncomfortable films you've watched, where every time someone's a cunt to her, you just feel like, I'm just like sitting there being like, oh my God, stop treating her like shit.
Yeah, I think that's the best part of the film, is that you feel so frustrated that people are so rude to her.
Yes.
Her house.
And I did feel that.
And you're meant
up
to feel
the first party. So the funeral.
Yeah,
I felt
funeral.
That all the way through.
Oh,
that.
You want to punch him in the face.
And then as soon as he then like was like, I've written a poem, it's really good. That's not heavy about him, that's someone else. But like as soon as that funeral scene ended and it went on and it was like it escalated and like Kristen Wiig showed up and then a war broke out in her house, and I was like, is this an allegory for the climate change or an allegory for the Bible? Or is this the terror of why do I care?
Well, it's how we treat Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was...
Are you not fascinated by the way they portrayed that?
Through religion and through war.
Which I understood from the first 90 minutes of that movie.
Yeah.
Just make it a dinner party. Make it clever. Make it a dinner. Don't bring in fucking war zones.
But it's honestly, and this is where it's tricky sort of commenting on an auteur film sometimes, but this is the message that he tried to get across. He was showing this is how we slowly chip away at Mother Earth, and then things get drastic. At what point does it end? Where does the insanity end? And it's just a build up and a build up and a build up, and it's crazy.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what his movie says? He was like, oh no, it's about how we treat Mother Earth and everything. Okay, well, what you're saying is to all those climate change deniers out there that it's going to be fine, because when we blow Earth up, Javier Bardem's just going to rip its heart out and start a new one.
Well, no, I don't think that's what
it's saying. It's not a literal thing.
Yeah.
I took it literally.
Well, you I would, think it's because, more again, about it's a small mind trying to look at a big canvas.
No, I get what it was trying
because
to do,
it's,
and I
it's
think
representative
it did it so
of a
well.
I'm being very mean to you.
Did it so well in the first hour, and then it just went too far for mine.
No, I think the cyclical thing is about the fact that we take, we destroy, we use, and then we think, oh, well, everything's just going to regenerate. But it won't. And as you say, it won't regenerate. And that's the whole point. It does in the film, because it's like this is the mentality that we as man, as God, as this kind of like elevated version of man is. He thinks he can reuse and remake, but we in the cinema know that we can't. You know, he's relying on us being smart enough to get that this is a story. This is an allegory, essentially.
He's lazy and couldn't.
Nah, he was relying on you being smart, Tom, and he fucking misjudged you,
mate. Your film is only as good as your dumbest audience member. I do not stand by that at all. Having recently watched Annihilation, say okay, I just watched Annihilation.
So did I.
That was doing similar things, and it was exploring big, complicated ideas in a style that is flawed, but is still interesting.
Interesting.
I would rewatch Annihilation in a heartbeat, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I would watch it again as well to find out where it went wrong.
I wouldn't watch Mother again because I know where it went wrong. Putting in an exclamation mark at the end of the title for the start.
I love that the poster was painted, though. Like, it was a painting of it.
Was it her face just chipping away, sort of? Was that?
It was her, and she was ripping her heart out and handing it, and it was painted, and I thought that was really cool. I really liked that. Not for any particular artistic reason other than I'm an artist and I like paintings.
Yeah.
But I think it was cool. I think it set the tone that this was going to be a little bit experimental and very alternative and not like your typical film, blockbuster, whatever, thriller, any of those things.
But then it wasn't.
But it wasn't like a Eureka.
No, but I feel like it fell into, it was doing something where I was like, oh, this is interesting. It's understated. It's just the house. And then they went, oh, now we're going to do something dumb at the end. And I'm like, oh, good. Well done. The last half of the film made it feel like every film I've ever seen. And I can't even articulate why. It just felt like it's been done to death, even though it hasn't. But it felt mundane compared to what I was being set up for.
I just don't really understand that comment.
Neither do I, Sean.
Because
my brain is a complex place.
It's inside out. It is just quite different at the end. It's got nothing similar to what we've seen before. I think it's a really interesting film. And like I said before, I think it's that progression. I love the way that it starts out really slow and then momentum builds and then falls off a cliff.
I picked it.
You picked what?
I picked how it was going to end.
Did you?
Yes.
Which part?
The fact that he'd take her heart and put it on the crystal shelf. The fact that he would kill her in some way and that she'd kill everyone.
Well, good on you for picking up foreshadowing.
No. I need to let you in on a secret, Sean. This may surprise you. Sometimes when I watch movies,
your Wikipedia, what happens at the end?
Oh. I'm dumb as rocks.
No.
And I never pick stuff.
Yeah.
You're saying this film was clever and interesting? I fucking picked it. And I'm dumb as fuck sometimes.
You're not dumb as fuck. You are in this moment.
You're underselling yourself here, but
Tom, you're a writer. But the three of us.
You're smarter than you're giving yourself credit for.
Sorry, I am, but I never pick things.
The three of us here at Express,
and I'd read the book and I forgot who did
it. Maybe it was. No, but hang on. The same thing happened to me, actually. maybe you think. But what you're saying is suggestive that it was meant to be a shock, and I don't think it was meant to be a shock. Necessarily, I think it was for some people, but I don't think it was meant to be like a Sixth Sense plot twist. You know what I mean? I don't think picking it means it's invalid. I think, like Sean said, I think you just like identified foreshadowing and things were set up to happen a certain way.
I like
that
you're going
to
try Greatest Showman me. It's not going to work.
What do you mean Greatest Showman you?
I convinced you both that we could do a better version of this film and you're like, no, Mother's good. And I'm like, Mother's not good.
No, I mean,
we
obviously.
Haven't had fix yet. Give it time, Tom.
Yeah, I'll take your fix over this film.
Because I'm going to give you some foreshadowing for this conversation. A lot of what you said I actually agree with and I tried to fix, so to speak. But go on. We'll get there.
There are two people in the room who think that your opinions are garbage.
No, I actually agree with Sean. I just think that I agree. I think that the strengths were stronger than you give it credit for, but I do identify the weaknesses.
Maybe that's my biggest problem with it is because its strongest part is really strong, so its weakest part is noticeably
weak. So you're more angry that it failed, as opposed to not recognizing that it was really strong. You're more angry that as a whole it didn't live up to the strength that it set up. Does that make sense?
I think so. If this is an interesting insight into my life, but it makes me realize that if I had kids and I'm like, no, guys, just fail, it's fine. No, I wouldn't be okay with that.
Okay.
Right. I see what you mean.
I would. Just because, he tries and then it's on the right track and then he just decides to do something dumb instead.
See, okay, so when I was in film school, I noticed and that the majority of the films that people were making would fall into two categories. They would shoot for the moon and try and make something like what they like to watch, and they would usually fail, or something really different, something like they'd never seen. And usually failed, you know, we were experimenting. They were all, the films failed really in the first year.
So I thought you were talking about like every movie.
No, I'm talking about shooting films. So like in the first year, they'd shoot for the moon and they would fail miserably, or they would try and make it as simple and achievable as possible. And it would be okay, but, you know, they were setting a really low bar for themselves. So, or they were reaching for something so low that it wasn't that exciting if they hit it. I have such a soft spot for people that shoot for the moon even though they fail, because I thought those films were so much more exciting. I was always like kind of more supportive and drawn to and encouraged those people that were like, I'm going to try something crazy. It's way out of my league and it might be a complete disaster, but at least I'm trying something different and exciting. And it's, I don't, you know what I mean? So Mother feels like that to me. Like he was trying to do something, you know, unique and without kind of a framework, a pre-existing precedent for that kind of film. And I do think it failed or missed mark, but I have a soft spot for that. I like that it tried to do something different, that it wasn't trying.
That's exactly why I love The Fountain.
Yeah, and I think The Fountain, I think, possibly falls into that as well. Yeah, so I appreciate it for it trying, even though it didn't make it. I'm like, thank you for like not just trying to do some, you know, I'm trying to think of an example, for not just trying to do like your very basic tentpole film.
Yeah,
he tried something, and that I'm grateful for that.
Can I say?
Yeah,
I've decided that I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed because I know he can do good stuff. The Wrestler is a fucking amazing.
The Wrestler is so good.
It's probably in my opinion his best film.
No, Requiem for a Dream. You can't touch that shit. That's brilliant.
The Fountain. It's really good, but The Wrestler for me has, well, Requiem again. Because Requiem is really good. Requiem has a great last shot. For me, that last 2 minutes of The Wrestler, where he looks for Marissa Tomei, sees she's not there, and then just climbs up on the rope, and you're like...
And then Bruce Springsteen kicks in.
Oh, it just... That film, I'm like, Aaron Nofsky.
Yeah.
You can do it, buddy.
Yeah.
And he's done experimental weird stuff before.
Yeah.
But I just think Mother's just...
I think Rec Room is an example of shooting for the moon and it landing, and that, how incredible that must have felt to make something so unbelievable and so weird and different, like, and it just
second
working.
Second film? First film? Second film?
Second, no, I think he did that math Pi one before him. Yeah, one, my yeah. brothers yeah. who are mathematicians loved it. They used to watch it all the time.
That's a really trippy movie. It's good though.
Yeah, and that's another art house crazy bananas weird film. I don't know if it's good or not. I'm so tainted by my brother's love of it, but which maybe just because I love maths.
That's good.
I should watch it again. Would you? Shall we get cracking on my fix, though?
Certainly.
So, for me, the strengths of this film, the strength, singular, really, in my opinion, is the metaphor that Jennifer Lawrence, Mother, and the house is Mother Earth. Because when we see these people coming in and being so fucking rude and destroying this thing that she's so lovingly crafted and been so generous letting, you know, them come in at all, I felt so angry and frustrated. I got such an emotional response. Yep. For me, I'm like that. And when it clicked that was the metaphor, which it was probably way later than everyone else, because I'm a bit like you, Tom, I tend to get things a little bit later.
It's fine.
I was like, that's brilliant, because it's really relevant to now and to the fact that, you know, we're in the middle of it right now and we all kind of lose perspective. And it kind of gave you a weird kind of this weirdness that gave you perspective. It kind of made me think of that Picasso quote, which is, art is the lie that tells you the truth. And that made me think about that. And I thought that was such a brilliant premise, and it was so achieved in the film. It was the one thing that I felt it really hit the mark on. And I was like, that's great. However, I don't think that's enough of a premise for a film. And neither did Darren Aronofsky. I feel like it's a fantastic short film, but it's not enough to carry a plot of a feature film. So what the film needed was a linear progressive narrative to anchor that metaphor to. And so he went, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I'll do fucking religion. And that's where it falls apart for me. First of all, the whole religious metaphor, there's so many holes in it. Yeah, it's a bit clever, the rib thing. Oh, except here's the thing, Darren Aronofsky. If I got a Venn diagram of the people that like your films and the people that are interested in religious...
He wants to make religious movies.
The people that like religious analogies, that is a tiny cross-section here because I like Darren Aronofsky's film. And I was raised in a very religious home and I'm very interested in religion. I'm not interested in parables and retellings of the Bible. I'm just not. You know, I know the story. I got it. Thank you. And I think that he's hitching his wagon to this storyline from the Bible that in truth I don't think resonates with many people and I don't think many people are interested in. So what I've done is I've scrapped the religious shit because we don't need it.
Ooh.
But I've the religious stuff is Javier Bardem is still God, but he's instead of God, he's worship. So he's God when we lived in a society where we were fighting wars over God, but when it later on in the storyline he becomes something different. He's the embodiment of an idol that we worship, whatever it is at that point the narrative needs him to be. So he does start off as God, but he changes throughout. The linear progression that I have chosen to anchor the metaphor of Jennifer Lawrence being God to is the evolution of man, starting at caveman time. So we start the film. And
so you're gonna Darwin up in this?
Did you say making Jennifer Lawrence God?
No, she's still Mother Earth. She's still the same. She's still, you know, she can wake up to Javier Bardem, all that stuff. Fine, keep it. Fine. It's fine. Yep. Okay? Just keep it.
All right.
I'm having a fight with Aronofsky. But man, as he's introduced this time, they have cows and geese and animals out in their little farm thing. And she finds him in the middle of this field amongst animals, maybe even sticky, like the animals have given birth to him. And he is this kind of trembling, terrified mess. And when we meet and she welcomes him, in fact, she kind of brings him in. And man, who is sort of our initial formation of human-like man, so he's just evolved from the monkeys, he's caveman, he's representative of this, I should say. Man is very, very fearful of Mother. And everything she does has like an extreme effect on him. So like I don't have too many specific images. This is where you guys can jump in. So she turns on the taps and like that, you know how water running through pipes can make that like whining sound? It's like deafening to him. He's so affected by everything she does. Just as like original man, like he was such a bitch to nature because it was extreme.
Terrifying.
It was extreme and it could kill him like that. You know what I mean? They were primitive and nature was a force that could kill him in a second. And so she is terrifying to him and she is so powerful to him.
You could almost have where like, through like little incidental things, he hurts himself because of something she does.
Yeah.
And Javier Bardem's like, be careful. Again, similar to like her being a bit abrupt and rude to
Ed Harris.
But I think it's important she never means to.
No, it's always accidental.
It's always accidental.
And he
But she's so powerful.
Bardem can be like, it's okay, just, you know, why don't I talk to him? And obviously this man doesn't speak. It's more like noises. Like,
at this point, he doesn't speak. He does learn to speak soon. But yes, at this point, he's just kind of
Who's man?
Javier Bardem. So at this point, I mean, you know, I don't...
No, so Javier Bardem's the guy in the house.
He's the guy in the house. He's not symbolic of organized religion God yet. I don't know, because I don't know my prehistoric history that way, like my caveman history.
He's just he's like something.
He's just creation omnipotent... Oh, no, that's not the right word. You know what I mean. He's just kind of around. Actually, no, I don't think that man engages with Javier Bardem's character yet.
Okay.
I think they ignore each other because I've got a point where they, you know what? In fact, I'm certain they don't acknowledge each other.
Okay, cool.
So it's more about him
and
her.
But she like does things by accident to hurt him and then tries to make it better and he just kind of panics.
Yeah, and he's so sensitive and he's like always cowering and just looking up at her and fearful of her.
Do you make this Domhnall Gleeson?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, he could play man.
I don't know if that's him to say his name.
For sure. Domhnall Gleeson. I think so.
You committed to it, so.
DG.
DG.
D. Gleeson.
Brennan's boy.
Brenner's boy.
Gleeso.
Dommy Gleese.
Diglees.
Diglisi. Diggity doo. But no, but in all seriousness, Domino could be that early man.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. So he's in awe of her power. Everything she does is equal parts incredible and terrifying. And there are moments, I think, at this part of the film where he's so fragile that you think he could just, like, literally, like, die in any moment. So fragile, as was humans, or the version variant of humans at the time. You know, we could have very easily, you know, if the weather patterns had gone differently, just been wiped off and become extinct. So he was very fragile, and you feel like, oh, is he even going to survive the next 2 minutes? Like, he's, like, super fragile.
Can I just quickly clarify?
Yeah.
What time period we're in?
Oh, fuck, I don't have any clue. My history's not that good.
Is it just...
We're talking the dawn of man from apes to caveman.
The time period of the house is just the same. Like, it looks exactly the same. She's in the
plain
clothes.
Yeah, that's all the same.
Yeah.
He's like... Like cavemen. Or pre-cavemen, like that beginnings of cavemen.
So the house is the same as in the film.
Yes.
And then this like caveman type.
He's probably wearing
clothes like a normal person.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. He's not a literal caveman. He's representative of that.
Sean, stop taking this story literally, mate. Jesus, you're just dumb.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go on a little bit of a journey with me.
Broaden your mind, mate.
So until
complex film.
Until man, this all changes when he discovers tools. Which is kind of getting more into caveman era. Again, my history, this part of history. I have good, like, World War I history. I don't have great history at this point in time. He discovers tools. So things like hammers and maybe he finds a rock and he knocks something and goes into the tool shed and he starts bringing tools out. And his relationship, the moment he discovers tools, changes. Where before he was fearful, now he's respectful. And now he gains confidence. But he's very shows a lot of gratitude to Mother Earth. So, and he starts to work with her. So I like this idea that they prepare this dinner together. And she's still she's in charge. She's taking the lead, but he helps her. He uses the tools that he has discovered to help her. And in return, she gives him things. And she helps him with, like, things that he needs help with, whatever it is in this analogy. So I had this idea that he helps her peel the potatoes. And they cook this amazing meal. And she... He kind of lingers in the doorway and she offers him a seat at the table because he has helped her, because he's used his knowledge, his skills, his tools, his fingers, which is significant in evolution to help her. So she offers him a seat because she is a giving person, as is Mother. No, she's bountiful with resources. I meant that in earnestness, but it sounds really goofy. And I think they sit down at this beautiful dinner that they've prepared. And he's very grateful, but he's confident. He accepts it, and he accepts his place at the table. He thinks he's earned it. And he sits down, and then I think Javier Bardem, God, walks in, because we're now moving out of the tools phase, and he sits down at the table, and they look at each other, and he acknowledges God. It's the beginnings of religion in the plotline.
Yep.
He acknowledges God, which moves us into the next phase. The acknowledgement of God splits man into two. And I don't know how I'd show this. I was hoping you guys could help me out here, because what he's going to split into two. And for this, you know, showing the evolution of man, there's so many different ways you could take it.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked this idea. I was very drawn to this idea of looking at, like, attitudes. When I was thinking about the attitudes of man's relationship with Earth, it kind of drew me to, like, imperialism and this concept of taking and controlling and seizing and what we do with the earth itself. And for me, this scene, when he acknowledges religion, it splits man into two. That sort of two men create. Maybe another man just walks in and sits down. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Deglace has a twin brother.
Twin brother, except it'd be, casting would be interesting because of race. Because the two men that are there is we have, I think the original one, it will stay, because especially if we've got Domhnall Gleeson, sort of a European-looking imperialist man. And the other one is, I've called him tribal man. I've kind of, and there are so many different groups of people that he could be based on. And in truth, it would be an amalgamation of many. But I like to base him off the Moriori from New Zealand, who were these incredible group of people who were, without having any like global research, had incredible understanding that you can't take too much from the earth.
Yep.
They did take, of course, they were pacifists, but they did take, but they were very, very good at regenerating and about balance and about not taking too much and only taking what you need and then helping the earth to regenerate and to grow, because helping the earth helps them. And I know that there are a lot of Indigenous Australian tribes that also did that. And I'm sure there is many more that I don't even know about. So I've kind of rooted tribal men as Moriori, but in truth, it's so many. So versions of so many.
I know where you're going.
What?
Where am I going?
Casting.
No, I'm not even, I wasn't even about to talk casting.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought that, and I thought, no, I don't think it would work.
I thought Tom was going to suggest Taika Waititi.
I was.
He would be perfect. But
he would, great.
Taika.
He's got a very expressive face. It would actually be interesting to see him do something that isn't comedy.
Yeah.
And I think he should look a lot, like I wouldn't dress them differently to imperialist men. I just think it's just that they're similar. I just think that there's just different attitudes to the way that they treat Mother.
You could have it so simple that as soon as he acknowledges God, he kind of like knocks something over at the dinner table but doesn't pick it up. And she's like, oh. So she goes to pick it up, and then she looks out the window while Javier Bardem, because he does that. It's same in the movie where he just starts ignoring her. Yeah. They start having this in-depth conversation and making plans, and they're like,
yes,
all of a sudden they've got stuff
plans
on the table, and he's like,
one.
What are they doing? And he's like, yeah, and they start talking about the house, and so she's following around the house, and she hears a noise outside, and she panics, runs outside, and there's like Taika Waititi's there, they're like feeding her ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like they've wandered off and he's brought them
and
back.
And maybe he takes the eggs, but he feeds them, or he takes one egg and he leaves the rest. Like he's like, he has this inherent understanding that don't be the dick to earth.
He feeds the ducks, brings them back from wherever they were, and she gives him one of the eggs. And he's like, oh, thanks. And off he goes. So it's like, I'll do this good thing for the environment will reward me.
Yeah. And he kind of just inherently gets it. I mean, I remember reading when I was in New Zealand over the holidays, there was this ship manifest from this European settler who came, and he was like, oh, I'm going to do good by the local people and the local land, and I'm going to do a nice cull of the seals. So he killed like 400 seals in an afternoon, took just their fur and left all this, you know, where the, you know, the people there would have used every part of the body and would have taken like a fraction of that. And this guy was like, oh, and I agree. He was a European settler on a ship, and he was like, oh, I'm a great guy killing 400 seals. And it was just like, just did not understand that this was waste and this was a terrible thing. So that's kind of, he's what inspired imperialist
fucking Barnum
at this point.
Right. Mm. I mean,
I'm sure they weren't all dicks, but this guy was an idiot.
A lot of them were. Because they were like, I've arrived here. No one else lives here. Oh, we've been living here for 100,000 years. Nope, you heard me. No one else lives here. This is my house now. Hey, you could even have bits where like she goes into a room and he's like just claimed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's good.
Like he starts wearing like more layers, and he like takes off a jacket, just hangs on a chair, goes, oh, I'll be right back. Or like she's like, oh, is this your teacup? He's like, oh yeah, sorry, I was just in there just reading a book and I forgot. And she's like, oh, and the book's out as well. Like he just starts strewing his stuff everywhere. Whereas you have the Taika character going around, and he kind of either is outside, or when he comes in, he's always packs up after himself and hands it back to her. And
always, though, from the perspective of Jennifer Lawrence, she should be like doing her thing, walking past her room, and then she sees almost like through two doorways, if you know what I mean, sees imperialist men like pushing Taika Waititi around, being kind of like dominant, you know, and to the point where I like the funeral scene, how she kind of just come downstairs and it's happening. I want that. Because this is the new phase where imperialist man and is really using organized religion, and he's bringing people in without permission. And she's like, well, who died? Who do you think died?
The other man?
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi.
And she's like, how did he die? And I think maybe just like a dark look should cross imperialist man's face. And it's pretty clear, but it's never explicitly stated.
Yeah. And then she just walks away, never answering. She's like, no one will tell me how he And people are like, you didn't even, like, that could be great things, but all these people keep coming and Javier Bardem could be like, oh, it's such a tragedy. She's like, you didn't even know him. You didn't talk to him.
And then he ignores her.
Yeah, he just ignores her. She's like, it doesn't make sense. He can't just die. He was a capable man. And it's kind of like it's this unspoken suggestion that he was murdered.
But they've taken all the ducks to cook for his funeral.
Yeah.
Like, where are the ducks?
Oh, nice. She's like, he loved those ducks. He wouldn't have wanted them all to be dead. Or we wouldn't probably, you know, and it's this kind of this
and there's
really.
There's just so much leftover duck.
Yeah.
They just don't need that much duck.
No one needs that much duck. No. And I think I've written here that.
A lot of waste. 400 seals worth.
I like this idea, sorry, that Taika Waititi's character would offer her water when she's working really hard. He would offer her water. He would get things, but he would be very supportive of her health as well. That was a big thing for me. I was like, it's all about her health. He's looking after her health. When the funeral takes place, Imperialist Man makes this kind of like horrible. And this is about voice and taking away voice here. The Europeans whitewashing history is kind of what I'm you know, trying to represent here. He says this horrible eulogy where he's mocking and he's cruel and he literally just says untruths, just lies about what happened and about who he was as a man. And then he's kind of blaming and he makes it seem like his death was his own, like, inability to be progressive or whatever, adapt or survive. And it's horrible. The funeral you meant to just be like, shut the fuck up, motherfucker. I hope you die.
And everyone's just joining in and like, oh, yes, oh, yes.
And this is where the kind of we're getting to maybe the 18th century here.
So the kind age of enlightenment.
I'm using air quotes right now. Then we have this great scene where, oh, no, maybe not the 18th century, sorry. You know what? I won't give a date because I'll just show my lack of
some understanding. Point in history.
Some point in history. I had this great idea here of, so then I was like, okay, well, then is the point where man discovered the whole world. And discovering the whole world was the beginning of the end of imperialism. And I know it took a very long time, but, sorry, it took a very long time, but it was, you know, imperialism is this idea that you need to grab as much land. Well, discovering that there is a finite amount of land in the world is a significant point. And I had this great idea where Domhnall Gleeson, it's like this one tracking shot and you watch him move and he literally goes to every single room in the house. And it could be like, honestly, like a 10-minute, it's an art house film. We make it like a 10-minute film and each room has this different thing going on and some of them are still being constructed and sometimes he takes something from one room and sometimes he leaves one room and he just glances in. And it could be really interesting just to kind of explore this maze of a house. I was just thinking about, like, do you remember when you're a kid and you go to a house? Maybe this never happened to you guys, but it happened to me. And you go to like this one of those really long houses and you feel like it goes on forever.
That hallway's gone on for 10 years.
You feel like the house is growing.
And you're like, there are so many rooms and some of them are untouched. I want it to feel like that feeling.
The house needs to feel alive.
Yeah, and each room is like a mystery and like it has an, you know, this kind of like, yeah, like you said, it feels alive. I just have a very vivid memory of my grandparents' house and just always being like, there's another room. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I wanted to kind of encapture that feeling. Yeah.
You could do something nice too where he's exploring rooms. Jennifer Lawrence is kind of going along with him. And she'll like be like, oh, she'll go to turn around. There'll be a wall there. She's like, what?
Oh,
like, that's nice.
So,
yeah.
So he's like putting walls in by walking into rooms. So he's segregating land.
Maybe he can even move furniture and she can just kind of be like, no, like it goes there. But he pushes it back. He's very insistent. No, this is going to go. And there's like a weird and she's like.
And then you just have a moment where like she's given up on that. She goes back, reads a book and then like a hammer just comes through the wall above her head. And he's like, we're going to put a door in here so we can get through to there easier.
Yeah.
As it gets more extreme. I think you start out small where he wants to move a chair and she's like, no, moves it back. And then later she goes into the room and it's moved.
So he explores. He explores the whole house, and then it comes to a point where he stops and he realizes that he's seen every room in the house, and as have we. That's why I like this idea of one continuous shot, and this is kind of a change in him.
This is where he can then ratchet up the extremes of him like moving shit around the house.
Maybe he starts off slow and then it builds and builds. Now at this point, now we've reached. Maybe the 19th century. Maybe not.
We've skipped ahead in time.
We're using the theoretical rise of man.
Yeah. And at this point, I was going to bring in war. And I actually liked the way they did it, that it just went crazy. It just went bananas and each bit was kind of like the evolution of war. I actually liked that of it, except I had slightly different points. I want him to be, and this is probably totally stupid and you guys can totally cut this, but I was always fascinated about the difference the change between World War One and World War Two, the way that the wars were fought. World War One people were still on horseback, yep. even though they had rifles. They didn't really know what to do, and they failed so often. And World War One was the end of imperialism. So I like this idea that at the beginning of the war thing, he's riding like a big white horse, and it's like shitting in the house, and it's just like, and he discovers the machine gun, or discovers a machine gun. He just finds one, and I love animals, so this is hard for me to put into a film, and I wouldn't want to watch it, so don't actually film this, but it makes sense that he finds the gun and he goes, well, I don't need this horse, and he just shoots the horse. And that's the starting point of the madness. And that's the end of World War One. Moving into World War Two, he starts to build trenches.
He does it in front of her, right?
It's her horse.
Oh, of course. It's her horse.
It's her horse.
Perfect. It's her horse.
She's like, what are you doing riding around on my horse?
Imagine someone killing your pet.
I can get around the house faster on this horse. And just like, he's smashing things, and because all the people from the funeral didn't leave.
No, it's escalating like it does in the film. And he discovers the machine gun and shoots the horse. That's when things go bananas. There's things like trench warfare and then chemical weapons. And then, you know, as it does in the film, I've kind of kept that all the same.
No one tears a baby apart in a really stupid scene.
Well, I've kept that because I didn't know what to do with it. And the rest of the film I've actually kept pretty much the same. The only thing is Javier Bardem, you know, in the middle there, he's definitely as he is in the film. He's God. He's religious God specifically. But I like the end, the idea at the end that, you know, although religion, don't get me wrong, I know it's still a huge part of society today. I think that this idea that he wasn't God, he was worship, and again, this is another thing you can totally cut. I had this idea that he became like this concept of idolization, and he like Justin Bieber, like, or maybe not him, but he evolves into this kind of like celebrity and fame, and he becomes.
So is he not a writer anymore? It's something.
I think different. He can start off as a writer, but I think he at the end, you know, he goes
almost a rock star by the end.
Yeah, he becomes like almost a rock star because he's like this idea of worship, and then. And then I had this idea that he was like just had oil coming out of him, and it was like this idea of he's like resources and this scramble for resources, or maybe she has the oil. I'm not quite sure. The ending, I more or less kept the same. I just following this premise.
That's
my fix, pretty much.
You could. Just all right, this end beat.
Yeah.
I don't think you need Javier Bardem to show up again.
To show up again?
No. I think once he's given man the idea that God exists and therefore I'm more important than the world because God made me, that's all you need. Domhnall Gleeson then becomes the main antagonist to Jennifer Lawrence. I think bringing God back in obfuscates the creationist version.
Jump on top of that and say that that's what kicks off the war once he leaves.
Yeah, Bardem's like, all right, see you, man.
Once the God figure.
I sold him the house. It's his house.
The God figure is gone, and then that's when chaos descends.
Yeah, because he leaves.
Think chaos needs to start because.
Oh no, you still get the. It's
there are many
like
wars
the
fought
film.
Over religion.
You even have like signs of chaos beginning, and then Bardem's character is kind of just like washes his hands of this. And
she
leaves.
Could go looking for him to be like, oh, I need you to stop it, and he's just gone.
Well, yeah, and actually, no, she would confront him because you probably want them to have one final scene together.
Yeah,
and she just talks to him, and he literally doesn't respond, and then just walks away.
No. Even better, he says. If I'm not here, so maybe a lot of the war stuff begins where Domhnall Gleeson's like fighting over. He's saying no. Javier Bardem's character said this. No, you've got it wrong. Like you know, they're fighting religious wars, and Javier Bardem goes, well, what if I leave? This will stop the fighting. This will fix your problem. He leaves. They find something else to fight about
because it was never about him. I like the idea.
They
used
him to justify their wars.
Pardon? Yeah, I don't think he does it as a nice thing. I think it's a dick move. I think he walks away and doesn't listen to anybody
because
and
this,
is selfish.
Okay, but maybe she has this idea. She should have this moment of hope. Then she should go. Well, maybe this will.
Kathy, you're trying to make it not so much about religion, but it's very religious still.
Yeah, I know. No.
Whatever you do with him
you
is still a comment on.
You can have both scenes, right?
Yeah.
So you have the scene where she gets the idea that if he pulls himself out of these conversations with Gleeson, then Gleeson will stop trying to conquer so many areas in an attempt to try to prove himself to Hat Bardem.
Yeah.
And she explains that all to him, and wouldn't that be great? And, you know, we just have a conversation with him, and I need you to be there. And he just turns around and walks out, like, well, I'm done now. She's like, no, that's not what I wanted you to do. Basically, again, no one is listening to what the house and what Jennifer Lawrence and his Mother Earth is telling them, even its own creator, which is really nice. And you could have they start pulling the house apart to build more house in the house for other people. And she's like, no, you pulled out that wall. And then, you know, they smash through a pipe and the oil comes out. And they're like, oh my God. So they start drinking it.
Yeah.
So they're drinking oil. And she's like, what's that? And he's like, it's so good. Try some. And she's like, no, that's really bad.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if they make her bleed, she bleeds oil.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, get her. She's got good stuff in her.
And maybe that's when they start to attack her and hurt her.
Maybe that's when they start attacking and hurting her. But I think if you remove Bardem, it becomes such a more interesting film because then it's like it's more about man's impact on Mother Nature. And at first we used God and then we used tools and then we used this. But at every point we've always been fucking over the world.
Yeah, and I think maybe we should, it could be a little bit of a twist that when he leaves, or not to anyone who knows history, but when he leaves, there should be a genuine expectation that things will change, but they don't. I mean, a little bit like Woody Harrelson's character in Three Billboards, in the sense that you feel like, oh, he's this really important character, but he's actually not. And no, maybe Javier Bardem, and it's kind of that kind of same thing. Maybe he leaves halfway through, so maybe the war thing is a bit longer. And yeah, and you think that he's quite powerful when in truth, you know, imperialist man's going to do what he always was going to do. Yep. You know what I mean?
I like that.
And he
that.
Was using him as an excuse.
I like that. Yeah, that's because that makes religion really irrelevant in this story.
Because when looking at the evolution of men, I mean, you have to look at, in terms of history, you do have to acknowledge religion. I just don't care about the Bible specifically. That's just one religion. Like, that's just one story.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the be end all and end all of humanity. You know,
make a statement on it as you have in this, but just don't wrap it around a really ham-fisted parable that's like so easy to pick.
And that no one cares about, and we all know the story. It's not like you're telling us a new he's telling us a new version of the story, I suppose, but you're not, the content itself is still the same. You're not bringing us new material. You're just painting us the same picture with different colors. You know what I mean? Tell us something different.
Yeah. I prefer this version of the film better. The chaos seems earned.
Yeah,
I felt that too when you were talking it through, Kath. Like the chaos, it feels like it actually built, whereas in the other one, like I think I said earlier, it just sort of fell off a cliff. And I was still, as an audience member, engaged in watching it because things were happening, but it didn't really carry as much weight as kind of what you've sort of suggested.
That's probably why I laughed at the baby.
And I think
because by that point, you were just switched off.
Yeah. For me, the religious, specifically the Bible aspect of when it came to that war, and it fell apart for me because I was like, look, yes, there were a lot of wars for over religion, but there were also a lot of wars that weren't, more recent wars that were not. And I was like, what? Like it just, that metaphor didn't hold for me. It had some grips in there, but I was like, and I don't care. I don't care about the Bible. Like, I'm sorry if that pisses someone off, but I think that if you are passionate about the Bible, you probably didn't like this film anyway, and this film wasn't for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, but then if you have Javier Bardem as God, he can be any God.
He can be any God. That's the point. It's this concept of worship in general and man's desire to...
to falsely attribute the gifts around them to somebody else. That's a nice thing.
Man's desire to look up to, but also his desire to exploit to exploit those who do genuinely look up to. And it's an indictment of that, I think, is my version of the film. So my favorite version of the film, I think, would piss off just as many people as Mother did, but maybe more people would like it. Maybe, I'd like to think.
Well, what's the greatest criticism of the actual film? I think it's the craziness of Act 3.
It's just shit.
I also think that a lot of people didn't get the metaphor and they were like, well, if I had to Google it afterwards, it doesn't stand up. Well, and I kind of agree with that thinking. It's like, if someone has to explain a piece of art to you...
you might encounter that same thing.
I might, but I think that I would encounter less.
Yeah, potentially.
I'd like to think so. Maybe not. Maybe I would. Maybe it would have the same issues. But I wanted to
Your third act seems so much more earned, though. Yeah. Like, it just seems like a progression and it's, yeah.
But I did want to stay true to the kind of the crazy art houseness that was Mother, because I thought that was a strength for it, you know.
I like the idea of her viewing things through like several doors.
Just that image. I love seeing that in films when you like see things like through two rooms and you're like, oh. Cause
that's cool.
It's a cinematic thing that I rather enjoy.
No, it's good. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
You could even have her find Tiger's body towards the end. Anyway, that'd be a nice touch before she blows herself up.
And it's clearly murder. And she's like, she kind of believes that it was an accident. And then when she realizes it was intentional, you know, it's a huge betrayal. That's
when she blows the whole house up.
That's when she goes bananas. Yeah, that could be something.
Would you have a scene of her burying him then? Like putting him into the earth?
No.
Okay.
She's just gone beyond that.
That's cold, mate.
Yeah, mate. She is now cold because Mother Nature doesn't actually care.
All right.
She will reward you if you're good to her. But if you're not, boom.
But he was good to her.
Yeah, no, but everyone dies now.
It's got to that point.
Yeah. She's like, fuck off.
I could grow a nice garden. If the sun explodes, I'm still dead.
That is very bleak.
Wow. On that note, if you have any comments or questions, you can contact us on sanspantsradio@moviemaintenance.com. moviemaintenance@sanspantsradio.com.
Yes.
Or individually, you can find me on Twitter at Kath Atkins 5.
Yeah.
Also, maybe for me, I spend more time on Instagram at Catherine.
Use that fucking Instagram again.
Catherine, I'm a visual person and my art is on Instagram, so it's more exciting. Catherine Atkins Art is my Instagram handle.
I'm at Awkward Treat, or you can also come after the Movie Maintenance Crew as a collective at MM Sans Pants.
And I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
And if you also are interested in more fixes and more nonsense from us and the rest of our absurd friends at Sans Pants Radio, you should think about becoming a Sans Pants Plus member. For $5, you get a whole bunch of bonus content, early episodes. You also get to listen to some stuff that we do at Movie Maintenance AGMs, where you can hear us just yell about movies that have just come out.
And if you're not sick of mine and Tom's voices, we have a new show with Joel Dusha from Plumbing the Death Star. It's called How Good's Footy, and you can find it at How Good's Footy.
Yeah.
Sean, how good is footy?
Well, good. Don't answer.
No, they'll find out in the show.
If to tune in. All right. Thank you. Bye. Understand how life goes on the way it does. Why?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.